So Republicans say they want to focus on repealing some environmental and labor rules. Meanwhile, we have this whole business with the budget going on. What can you tell us about what some of these priorities are going to be?
Well, it's very interesting. House Majority Leader Eric Cantor on Monday sent a memo around to rank and file where he basically outlined a fall and winter agenda. And there were 10 top regulations that he wants to address. The first that's going to be addressed the beginning of, not next week, but the week after, will be a National Labor Relations Board issue. This cropped up in a case involving Boeing, where the NLRB has accused Boeing of moving work from Washington State to South Carolina in order to punish unions in Washington State by moving work to a non-union plant. Now, Tim Scott, who is the representative from South Carolina, has introduced a bill which would basically, you know, prevent NLRB from, you know, seeking this kind of solution to a situation. And that bill has already gone through the Rules Committee. In fact, it was about to be voted on when Congress went out for recess. So that will be the first one. But then there are seven more environmental regulations in quick succession, the biggest of them being one on ozone, which the Obama administration says could cost businesses up to $90 billion to comply with. That is, you know, along with a bunch of regulations on cement making, the use of industrial boilers, coal ash for coal-fired power plants. These are all regulations that Eric Cantor wants to target, and it says that would, you know, impair job creation. Also in there, there's also, you know, the attempt to limit Obama's health care reform law and another NLRB rule, which would make it easier or quicker for union elections to take place.
Now, getting back to those regulations, you mentioned quite a range of them that the different agencies are proposing. And while this gambit to get rid of them is starting with, you know, Republicans in the House, it seems like given the range of regulations, there's probably a Democratic senator that would hate each one of them. So I wonder if that type of legislation may have a better chance than you might think initially in the democratically controlled Senate.
That's a very good point. In fact, one of the things that you've mentioned as being not necessarily scheduled on a week-to-week basis, but something that Eric Cantor will look for in the fall, is limiting EPA's ability to regulate greenhouse gases. And this is something that, you know, senators from Democratic senators like Jay Rockefeller and others in coal-producing states are worried about. They do not want to see EPA regulate greenhouse gases to control climate change without Congress being able to have a hand. I think Democrats would like to be able to design a climate change bill that, you know, meets some of their needs, needs of industry, such as, you know, by a carbon capture and storage, which is a method that would benefit coal companies while perhaps also helping the environment. So that would be something that could feed into a trade-off. But you mentioned the budget issue, and there is this super committee that's going to convene next week. Republicans on the super committee met in sort of a secretive meeting yesterday that I tried to cover. And these regulatory initiatives...
They didn't let you in the door? Is that you say?
They didn't let us in the door. In fact, we had all the... we thought we had all the exits covered, but they snuck out a third or fourth secret exit and really hoodwinked the entire Washington press corps, it seemed. But the regulatory agenda, anti-regulatory agenda, might make its way into a super committee deal. You can see something emerging where Democrats get some kind of economic stimulus that they're looking for, such as a payroll tax reduction, and some of these regulations get addressed as well. I don't know how likely that is at this point, but it seems like, you know, on their own, these anti-regulatory bills don't have that much of a chance, although perhaps the greenhouse gas one is an exception. But tied in with the super committee initiatives, maybe that's the vehicle that gets them passed.
We are talking with Eric Wasson of the Hill newspaper about what's coming up on the congressional calendar. And I wanted to ask about the budget issues and the postal service issues, regulatory reform, how they're going to prioritize it. But first, what you just said about not being able to cover what's going on with the super committee, I thought, it was my understanding that this was supposed to be all transparent and open, and we want to make sure everybody knows exactly what's going on. So now I'm very confused. Why wouldn't, you can't speak for them, but how can they not let you in?
Right. Well, this wasn't a meeting of the full super committee. This was just the Republicans, and they were coming up with a strategy. I think that they were trying to get on message with, you know, how they're going to approach this idea of loophole closings, for example, or whether fundamental tax reform, for example, would be taken up by the super committee. You know, yesterday the staff director for the super committee was picked, Mark Prater, who is, you know, works for Senator Hatch and the minority staff. He's the chief tax counsel for the Senate Finance Committee. And this raised a lot of questions about how much tax reform are they going to do in the super committee. And I think my guess is or intuition as a reporter is that they haven't firmly decided things yet.
So I see.
Want to sort of be in front of cameras answering questions. But yeah, we were joking. This is an auspicious start for transparency when they're sneaking out the back that way and not answering questions, for sure.
Well, thanks for that clarification. But getting back on point, how are they going to prioritize all of this stuff? I mean, just the Postal Service stuff alone that's on their plate. How are they going to prioritize between that and the regulatory reform and the budget issues that are pending?
Right. A lot of things are coming up, and Hurricane Irene has thrown another wrench into everything. You've probably been reading or hearing about, this whole controversy over whether disaster aid needs to be offset by spending cuts elsewhere. And we should see very soon FEMA and OMB make some requests and declarations about additional monies that are needed for disaster aid, including for Hurricane Irene. And this may prompt a quick emergency appropriations bill in September. But Eric Cantor has been out saying, we need to at least try to offset these additional expenditures. I mean, one of the things you have to look at is, the Republicans got about $39 billion in cuts this year, another seven next year for all their efforts as far as threatening government shutdowns and the debt ceiling default. And if Hurricane Irene does turn out to be tens of billions of dollars that are not offset, you're going to see all that effort sort of be erased. And that would be very disheartening to many conservatives. So, Eric Cantor is saying we have to at least try to find spending cuts elsewhere if, Irene and these other disasters, we've seen them in Missouri and Alabama, all over the country this year in quite a heavy succession of events, are not offset. So that's going to be, I think Irene is going to be a big priority. As you mentioned, the Postal Service is on the verge of complete bankruptcy. The National Flood Insurance Program also needs to be reauthorized by September 30th, or else everyone's policy is void. So there's a lot to do in September for sure.